What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rianne Fran, giving you that Friday energy on a Wednesday. We are joined by Trent, just Trent today, because listen, I want to give you the hype. I want to say all your nicknames, but I just don't have it in me today because this is the second week that you have not been here for cutting stems, but for good reason.
Yes.
You got the vid.
I do. Yeah, I have COVID. It's unfortunate. I've been in my room now for, I don't know, when did I test positive? I test positive on Friday, and then I've just been in my room since then. So, yeah, it's not great, but I have it. I feel all right. It comes and goes. Sometimes I have a really bad headache. I'm mostly just tired. It just takes a lot out of you. My symptoms have been mild relative to other people, so I'm grateful for that. But, yeah, I have it. It's unfortunate, but I'm still here to recap The Bachelor. I'm very excited to do that.
We appreciate that, and we are rooting for you. We're happy that you feel good. I did do some checkups on you because I didn't want to lose you. Of course, that would be, you know, if we lost you, people would stop listening to this podcast. They would stop listening to the recaps, cutting stems. Quite frankly, nope. Trent, I don't think I can do another cutting stems without you. I don't think I can. I need you in my life in cutting stems, and I think everybody feels the same way, but your energy is greatly missed, and we are happy to hear that you're feeling okay. We're happy that you are alive and well to do the Bachelor recap.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think you're wrong about pretty much everything that you said, but
no, this is like solely based off of how I feel. Like when I say I need you on cutting stems, like I'm being selfish. I need you. Like I need to feed off your energy, you know, your laughter, your lovable self. Now I'm just hyping Trent up again. People are going to think I'm flirting again, but
I will be back. No doubt about it.
Great. Great to hear. We're ready to recap the episode then. All right. I mean, not much happened besides Victoria, but let's get to it.
Yeah. I got to say, talking about this episode, I feel like it's pretty quick to get through a lot of it because the, you know, one-on-one dates were lovely. The group date was not really anything. Like everybody was so hyper-focused on Victoria that I think everything else that was going on fell into the background. I will start. We'll start from the beginning, as always. But just want to say, you know, last week we talked a lot about foliage, how foliage was going to be fantastic. We were hyping up foliage. Couldn't wait. Week two already did not disappoint. Like I thought maybe we'd have to wait a couple of weeks for really to get that orange, the deep colors we were looking for. But right off the bat, Trent, when they, I'm skipping ahead, but when they were doing the group date and it was like rainy and the women were probably freezing their asses off, but it just looked so peaceful. It was like the fog over the trees. I would like them to go into every commercial break with foliage, like ease us out of every scene.
I knew it. I could feel it. I'm not right about a lot, but I was very right about the foliage. I knew I could just feel it. I knew that was going to be a big part of the season. And they sort of did after every commercial break, during every day, every opportunity that they had to show foliage, they did it. And they had already showed a lot, but I knew as soon as they got into that airplane that we were really going to get a lot of foliage. It's just, it's beautiful. It would have been a travesty if they didn't highlight the foliage. So I'm glad that they did it. I hope they continue to do it because I just like talking about it. I got a couple people reach out to me last week after the episode, people being like, I wasn't fully appreciative of foliage until I listened to the show. And now they're just all in. People are asking me for the random Instagram foliage accounts that I follow. So I'm turning people on to foliage, and there's a lot of people out there that love foliage, but people are now turning on to it. It's just a very exciting time in the world of foliage.
It is, and I would say that I definitely noticed it more this episode than I ever have in my entire life, and for that I'm thankful. And I think that they maybe have added a little bit more foliage footage in there because they knew Trent was feeling down and sick, and they said, we gotta put a little pep in his step, and we're going to give him some extra foliage.
They nailed it. They just nailed it. And I think we're going to get a ton more too. Like the whole season had to be that way. It just, it's just amazing.
Was filmed in the fall.
Yeah. It's peak months. And I'm sure they also took enough B-roll footage from like 1 week where that, you know, you get that 1 week where it's peak. It's just absolutely peaking before the leaves start to fall. I'm sure they took so much B-roll footage that regardless of what week it is, they'll be like, all right, let's go to peak week. Get that foliage out there. Every date's going to look like it was absolutely magical. And you know what? We started off with some great dates. We've been talking about how lovely these girls seem. We're starting to get to know some of them a little bit better. We're still in that zone where there are so many girls, like so many girls, that we don't really know any of them. Like, it's hard to judge them because we don't really know them, especially when Victoria is getting so much attention. But the first one-on-one date was with Brie. And Brie seems absolutely delightful. She seems very, very sweet. I think her and Matt have a lot in common. And, you know, they obviously are pushing that narrative big time. But they went on this ATV date. You know, the girls come out. They're seeing them get on the ATV. Everybody was freaking out about how Brie tied her sweater around her. I personally have never seen someone do it like that, but I didn't hate it. Like, I kind of liked the look. It looked like she had like a fanny pack that she was wearing across her body.
I didn't even notice. So
I was going to say,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Really? I didn't notice. People on Twitter were talking about it. They were like, does Brie really wear, why isn't Brie just put her sweater around her shoulders or around her waist like a normal person? She took the sleeves and wrapped one this way and then one like this way and then tied it in the middle, like across her chest.
That's so way
cooler. It looked
like
a cross. It looks cool.
That is fucking cool. That girl, Brie is automatically 10 points cooler because she wore her sweater like that.
I'll do a quick example.
I didn't notice
I'll do a quick tutorial.
Okay. Little tutorial here.
It seemed like...
That looks like it's kind of baggy though. That's like a big bulky sweatshirt.
It is, but it'll do the trick just for the sleeve purposes. She went like this with her sweater and then went like this and tucked it under and tied it like here instead of, you know? So it was like that. And she just wore it like this with, obviously I'm wearing a sweatshirt underneath, so it looks very, very baggy, but
that's
with her little tank top, it looks cute. This was how it was.
I would have never thought to tie a sweatshirt that way around my body.
Never. But maybe it's a new trend. It's a new idea. It looked cute. And then they were on these ATVs. And I know you two had some issues with the potential accident that these two had. You know, they're mudding. Matt's getting a little crazy. And they fall off the ATVs.
Well, I know people in my personal life who have gotten severely fucked up from an ATV. Like, actually damaged badly. I won't go into detail. And it was from like a crash and fall like that. And so seeing how they perfectly landed and tangled in each other's arms, like they were cuddling, and the fall seemed way worse than how they acted after. Like they were covered in mud, but they seemed completely fine. Like, I just don't think that's realistic. I think if you fall off an ATV like that, you are going to be hurting in some capacity. You absolutely. So I felt like that was fake. Yes.
Yeah. No, luckily I don't know anyone who's been in an ATV accident, but I feel like I know how gravity works, and they fell in like a weird, they felt like there was a jump cut between the ATV actually falling or actually crashing and then them on the ground. And it very much felt like a romantic comedy movie, like a scene straight out of a movie where, oh my gosh, they fell in such a way where they're covered in mud.
That's literally Hitch. It happened in Hitch on the jet skis.
It does happen in Hitch. That's right. That's probably what I'm thinking of. So it's like, there's just no way that it happened that way. I'm glad they didn't get hurt. I'm very happy about that. But for them to try to pull the wool over our eyes in that way, just not going to happen.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Chris Harrison tweeted that it wasn't stunt doubles, but even if they did fall, which maybe they did, it felt like a blatant jump cut between them falling and them perfectly like tangled in each other's arms, like their legs perfectly intertwined. Like, yeah, you don't fall like that. That's not how it happens. But they got all nice and muddy, And they, you know, Matt, the gentleman that he is, he apologized, you know, Bree's mom. He was like, sorry, Bree's mom, don't want to get her hurt. And then they went to a hot tub. It was our first hot tub in the middle of nowhere in a while. We haven't gotten one. I feel like La Quinta, the weather was, it was just so hot. They couldn't make the contestants sit in hot tubs. It would have been just absolute torture. But now we're in pristine hot tub weather. And we got it, that beautiful wooden hot tub in the middle of nowhere, Matt shirtless chopping wood.
I really think we're going to look back on that La Quinta season like a torture chamber. Like, where did we get away from it? Like, obviously, this new resort is very nice, and they're really pulling out all the stops for this stuff. But if you if you go back and you watch what went on at that La Quinta, it was just – it really wasn't a real season – of The Bachelorette. They just like had to throw something together. Obviously times are crazy, but they're very much more prepared this time around. The Matt taking off his shirt, and then just, they definitely staged the part where he had to use the axe, because Bree was just standing there. I feel like they did that
drooling. She was like
drooling. I mean, Matt James, an incredibly attractive man, but he was just standing there like, all right, I've got the axe now. And she was standing there like, you're going to cut that wood? He's like, I'm going to cut this wood. And then he did it. And it was just, this show is just the best sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, I feel like watching this season of The Bachelor does not feel like we are watching a COVID version of The Bachelor. It feels like we're watching the real deal. I have not felt like I felt during La Quinta. People are going to hate me for this. They're going to disagree with me. But I already am enjoying this season more than I enjoyed the entirety of Claire and Tayshia's season.
Look, setting-wise, I think that's very valid. It does feel like we are back to a normal, regular season of this show. So props to them for making that work. And we're having more of these typical dates. Like, there isn't crazy shit happening on these one-on-one dates. It feels like how the process normally is. We're all like, oh, Brie, she seems lovely. They're making out in the hot tub. They're going through all the steps. They're having their nice dinner. They're opening up to each other. You know, Brie tells Matt that her mom got pregnant with her when she was 13, which, crazy. That is insane. And so how, you know, her relationship with her mom, she's a single mom. And now she has, like, this whole different, like, Bree's only 24, I believe. So, you know, now her mom is 37. She said she's got, you know, new family, pregnant again. Kind of these things where she was really opening up to Matt about her past and where she is right now. So props to these girls already. We're going in. We're getting deep. I like it. I think Matt is still a little nervous. I just feel like all of these dates, he's flirty and obviously, you know, chatty, but it feels like when things start to get a little deep, he gets a little bit more nervous, just because I not that I expect him to say a lot, but I can just see on his face, he's like, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I don't know, like, it's hard to relate to anything that happens on this show, because there's cameras everywhere. Like, this is a very emotional moment that Bree is opening her heart and telling Matt all these things about her life. And I'm sure, like, Matt, he's very conscious of, there's cameras everywhere. Like, people are going to judge this reaction that I'm having. And obviously he's going to have a pretty normal reaction. He's a very normal guy, but I guarantee he's in his own head about, how are people going to think about my reaction to these girls very much opening up to me? And he definitely is still very nervous about what's going on.
For sure. I think it adds to kind of what he said about what he said to Chris Harrison in the first episode, that he was nervous about the reaction of the public with what girl he picks, or what girl he ends up with, what girl he goes on dates with. I feel like that's very much in his head as he's on these dates. So hopefully he gets a little bit more comfortable. Maybe that happens with, you know, more group dates, and maybe it also happens more when some of these girls start to go home, because there are so many of them. But Bree and Matt seemed like they had a lovely date. Bree got the rose, and I think Bree is up there for me. I think she's going to go far. I do.
I like Bree. I had watched you guys doing Cutting Sevens before I joined last night, and Kelly Keegs was also sort of like surprised by the Brie love. I like Brie a lot, but I don't like, I thought, not to jump ahead to Sarah, but I thought Sarah's like, she's the front runner for me. Brie seems very nice, and her and Matt seem to have a good connection, but I'm just not sure. I don't know about all the Brie hype that's definitely out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Brie as well. I think she glows and she's beautiful and she seems like a really awesome person with a great personality. But I think you're right in the fact that watching her date compared to Sarah's date, Sarah had a larger connection with Matt James, it seemed, just from the initial dates.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you. I can definitely see that. There are two very great one-on-ones, both of them. Yeah. It seems like, I think I wouldn't be crazy to say that both of them probably go far. And then we have this group date situation, right? 18 girls. And I got to say, you have all these women in this house. They probably had to pack all their toiletries, all their belongings, like just, I can't even imagine how many products they have lined up in those bathrooms in the hotel and what they got going on. But if they would just maybe look at some of these companies, just, you know, throwing it out there, these ideas, maybe they, honestly, they could probably get sent right to the hotel, work out perfectly for them. We have been trying these new products from Athena Club. They're so, so great. They have these razors that are designed with the sharpest patented blades on the market. Now, you know, these girls, they're in wedding dresses. They got to, I'm sure everybody, you know, short, long, they're making sure their legs are shaved before they're going on a date with Matt. These razors are fantastic. They're the only razor designed with hyaluronic acid. I just started using the razor. I love it so much. And it also comes with this like cloud shave foam, which is so delightful. It's hard to find a great shaving cream that you love. So it's the razor, get the shaving cream. There's this body lotion as well. The best part is the razor kit is only $9, which includes 2 5-blade razor heads, your choice of a razor handle color, and a magnetic holder for easy storage. The blades, you can just get them shipped to you regularly so you never run out. I already got my magnet. I got it. It's blue. It's hanging in my shower. It's perfection. Athena Club has all of these self-care essentials you need, from period care to body care and even a probiotic and multivitamin. You can get them all sent right to your door. Sounds like something that these girls, you know, maybe if they needed a little delivery, they could get Athena Club sent right to them. Stop using razors that underdeliver and switch to Athena Club. Sign up today and you'll get 20% off your first order. Just go to athenaclub.com and use promo code CHICKS. That's athenaclub.com with promo code CHICKS for 20% off. Okay, this group date, 18 women. When they were rattling off the names, it was never ending. Just insane. There's a lot of girls. It's a lot of girls to make dress up in wedding gowns. It's a lot. And I'm sure Matt, you know, Matt played it cool. But if you're Matt, you're like, holy fuck. Look at all these girls lined up. They all want to marry me. They're all in their wedding dresses.
We are very much still in the zone where I am still learning the names of all of these girls. It's just, it takes at least 3 to 4 weeks before I really know who is who. You're right. When they were reading those names off of the group date card, I was like, all right, I guess these people are here. Your guess is as good as mine. In terms of the date itself, I'm just out. I'm just out on wedding dates. The show keeps doing these. They're not going anywhere. They seem to really enjoy them, basically to scare the bachelor or the bachelorette, being like, here it is. This is what it's going to look like if you potentially marry one of these people. But it's just, it seems like a lot. I love that Franco was involved again. Franco is becoming a star. Every time I see him on the show, I get very happy. But the wedding dress dates that then devolve into like a weird capture the flag sort of thing, it just seems like too much every time.
Yeah, I don't really love the wedding dress dates either. I almost look at it as bad luck. Getting in a wedding dress in front of your potential fiance just seems like a bad idea. And also just makes Matt James uncomfortable right off the bat. He's automatically scared that he's now the bachelor and is potentially going to get married at the end of the season. He probably regrets it within the first 2 weeks. They gotta hold out for that. Or just don't do it at all.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like it seemed like I never really focused on this date so much in the past, but maybe just because the seasons are so close together. We don't get seasons that are, you know, 2 weeks apart like they were this year, or, you know, whatever, Tayshia into Matt. So it's like, I still think of the dates Tayshia had. So I'm still thinking of her dressing up and Zach dressing up and they're taking the pictures and Franco's there. So it's like, all right, didn't we just do this? I understand there's 18 more people on this date, but it seems like we had just seen it. And yes, thankful that Franco was able to come back. Franco was stunting on everyone. He had that just like feather, I don't even know what it was, kind of jacket with his full suit. The guy looked ready to go, ready to take those pictures. Franco seems like a staple. Like, now I think we're going to see Franco all the time.
I think.
I hope so.
Yeah. I do think, and I think they look at like the Twitter reactions and the social media reactions to people like to like recurring characters like that. And Franco's a lock. Franco's, he'll be around until the show's done.
Question. Why was Franco allowed to be brought back for both seasons? They had him quarantine, but they didn't have you come. Now I'm kind of pissed, actually. Fuck Franco. Because
no.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Oh my God. Everybody hold your horses. But if he was able to get on the show in quarantine, do they not think you're just as important? Because to be honest, you would get way more of a crowd reaction than Franco.
I would argue that Franco is more important than I am.
No.
He's involved in those dates. He's brings the energy. He's the reason that date exists.
No.
He's great.
Stop it. Everybody would like to see you more than they would like to see Franco. And we love Franco and we appreciate Franco. But the social media hype would be way more around you. You're a social media guy.
I'm not wrong.
Just take the compliment and agree, yeah. Trent. Don't be modest. Don't be humble. Come on.
I agree.
Yes. I agree. Like Rhea said, you'd probably have a bigger reaction. But I think we've been lacking. Maybe there wasn't a Twilight reference, but Franco could be straight out of Twilight. Yes, a lot of colors. He's a lot brighter. I feel like in Twilight, you know, there's very dark, cloudy tones.
Yeah.
Just watching it, like, he just seems brighter. But he could fit with that coat he was wearing. It would work.
Definitely
would work. Okay, this group date was not just photos. It was a full-on capture the heart flag paintball fight that really there were no rules. Chris Harrison said the rules are there are no rules for this game, and there were no rules.
I don't even understand what the game was.
There wasn't a game.
Okay. Yeah, I was saying, like, it looked like capture the flag, but it was confusing because there were hearts and, you know, there's paintballs, and it was just I'll tell you what, this did feel a little bit like a La Quinta date where they were just like, let's just throw a bunch of things together and hope that it makes an interesting date. I mean, it looks like the girls were bored with it like halfway through, I will say.
Yeah, there were some that were really into it and some that were like, okay, I just don't want to be involved in this at all. They're tackling each other, probably maybe got a little dirty. They got the heart situation. It was very aggressive.
It was too much. It was just a lot. These wedding dress dates, they seem to go on forever. And then, you know, because it was one thing to have it be like, all right, we're going to take wedding photos. And Victoria, who we haven't talked about much, but I know we're going to get to her.
I'm saving her for last.
Yeah, I figured. But like, even her during that, where she butted in on whoever's and Matt was very uncomfortable. It's just, and I thought that would have been enough. And then they're like, oh no, keep those wedding dresses on. We're now going to go down into a field and you guys are going to throw paintballs at each other. It's just a very strange date in general.
Yeah, it definitely was. But one team did get to be the winner. Mari was on the losing team, but won like MVP. They called it something else, I feel like. I don't know what they called it. So she got to go on the date as well. Honestly, nothing really jumped out at me from the like night portion of this group date. He had some nice moments with Lauren, but, you know, Victoria was on this date, so I think a lot of it was focused on Victoria, even though Lauren did get the group date rose.
You don't
remember who Lauren is, do you?
I'm just trying to rack my brain. I remember, the only thing I remember from the group portion of that date was how much I wanted Matt to give the group date rose to Victoria. I remember thinking that would, because there was a part where Victoria opened up to Matt a little bit, like about what it's like being on the show, how she's got her own insecurities, and Matt basically reaffirming with her being like, the reason you're here is because I like what I've seen so far, so just keep being you, and I think that's going to take you a long way. And so I remember thinking, like, I hope that was enough to get the rose from Matt, and it didn't happen because, I mean, they would have burned that place down if Victoria had gotten that group date rose. But, like, you know, that's the part that I remember. I don't even think I can picture Lauren in my head right now.
That would be absolutely unreal if Victoria got the group date rose, but it was Lauren, who I actually am a fan of. I like Lauren. And I just think it was so funny seeing Matt's face next to Victoria's and the kiss. I have to talk about their kiss for a second because I compared it on Cutting Stems to like a drunk makeout at a bar that you really don't want to make out with that person, but you just end up making out with them. And it's like really sloppy and messy and you don't really care about it whatsoever. And then the difference between his kisses with other people that are like slow and sensual and he's making sure it's like, you know, sexy. But with them, it was just like they were just eating each other's faces.
Well, it's never a good sign when you have to ask for the kiss. They got done talking on the couch. They both stood up. And then she was like, can I have a kiss before you go? And he obviously agreed. But usually you want those moments to build up while you're talking and then finish it with a kiss. You don't want to have the moment, have it build up, stand up, and then kiss. So it's just – I can't – when Matt was talking to Victoria, it seemed genuine, the things that he was saying to her. When last week it seemed like she got the producer rose, we were all convinced that is what was happening. He seemed like he was being genuinely – like he was genuinely into her during that conversation, but I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe
I think he's just a very nice person. Like we were saying, even if you were to ask him now about Victoria, he would probably only have nice things to say. And we'd be like, you're straight up lying, but okay.
I know. I said the next time I see Matt James, I'm going to be like, so you fucking made out with Victoria, huh? And we were saying that he probably wouldn't even say anything bad anyway. He's just a nice guy. So he'd probably be like, yeah, it was nice. It was cool. Tasted great.
He would never say a bad thing. So
yeah.
This group date, you know, like I said, Lauren, I'm saving Victoria for the end. We'll just dive into everything that happened with Victoria at the end. So let's talk about Sarah's one-on-one date and then we'll wrap it up with all of the Victoria stuff. Sarah had a great one-on-one date too. You know, they went up on a biplane. There's a steamy makeouts, and we had the always essential like date where it's, I don't know, like where there's a quote unquote front runner, I think, because Sarah already was a favorite from early on, where she's like, okay, Sarah's really gonna have to open up more if this is gonna work, you know, it feels like she's a little closed off. And then it skips to the night portion, and she obviously talks to him about her life and caring for her dad. Her dad has ALS, and everything that she gave up to take care of him, everything she gave up in order to take care of him. And it's just another incredible story. Sarah seems absolutely incredible, just a beautiful soul. Another, like I said, both one-on-one dates, very delightful.
They went swimmingly. I really don't have much to say about either of them because they were delightful. It seemed like Sarah did open up. I feel like Sarah and Matt had a great connection, and I think Sarah's going to go far. I think Bree's going to go far as well, but I felt it a little stronger between Sarah and Matt at this moment in time.
I don't love this about myself, but whenever I watch these one-on-one dates, I'm always thinking about like, who's going to be the next Bachelorette? Who's it going to be out of this group of girls? There's a lot of girls, a couple of them stand out. And I think Sarah, if she doesn't go all the way and end up with Matt and they end up getting engaged in the whole thing, she would be right now the front runner for Bachelorette for sure. She's great.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think she is definitely up there, and it seems like Matt really likes her. And really, there's not too much to break down about the date because it just went really, really well. Seemed like they really liked each other. And I think Sarah is going to be a big-time fan favorite for a lot of people watching.
They're both in great shape. That's what we learned that day.
We did also learn that, yes, they are both incredibly hot. Like, we watched – it was – Kelly, Rhea, and I on the couch. And when they got into their bathing suits to get into the water, like all three of us were like, whoa, she is. I was like, both of them, their abs were just blinding, both of them.
Unreal. Like, I have to go to the gym today after seeing Sarah's body. Like, and there is no excuses anymore. I'm going to use Sarah's body as motivation to get to the gym every day because I need to have a body like that. It's amazing. It's awesome. She looks fantastic. Speaking of abs, do you guys have student loans? With today's low interest rates, it's a great time to refinance your student loans. It's time to break out of the student debt cycle, and Earnest can help you by refinancing your student loan. Earnest offers low-rate student loan refinancing, and you can check your rate risk-free in just 2 minutes. With Earnest, you get radically flexible payments, and you can pick your loan term. By refinancing, you can reduce your loan term, save money, or combine multiple loans into a simply monthly payment. And if you have questions, you can even talk to a real-life human at Earnest for help. Earnest is offering our listeners a $100 cash bonus. Refinance your student debt at earnest.com/chicks. Terms and conditions apply. Now Earnest is giving our listeners, like I said, a $100 bonus. So you refinance your student loans at earnest.com/chicks. Once again, a $100 cash bonus when you visit earnest.com/chicks to refinance your student loan. Terms and conditions apply. Visit earnest.com/chicks for more details. Terms and conditions apply. Earnest student loan refinancing made by Earnest Operations LLC NMLS number 1204917, California refinancing law license number 6054788303, Second Street Suite 401 North, San Francisco, California 94107. Visit earnest.com licenses for a full list of licenses.
Nailed it. Okay, guys, we got to get to the Victoria of it all. Victoria was the star of the show. It seems like it's going to be that way for a few weeks. Right from the beginning of this episode, you knew she was going to be a problem. She didn't want to make friends with the girls. She's talking about how this isn't a sorority. She looked like she was ranting to a producer who that sad person has to listen to her. Like, nobody else is going to listen to her vent. She's just venting to a producer or PA or whatever it is. And the drama that's going to be around her is going to be quite something, because you can just tell that all of these girls can't stand her. Either they can't stand her or they don't understand. Like, it's like, how are you a human being?
We can't understand how she's a human being. She is hard to understand as a person, the way she acts, the way she dresses, everything about her is hard to understand. But sadly enough, people like her actually exist in this world. If people like her didn't exist in this world, the world would be a very, you know, normal place. Everyone would be normal, huh? But no, that people like her actually exist.
That's interesting, because what I was going to say is that I've never met someone like that. Like, I wasn't sure if Victoria was a real person or not, but like, because the way that she acts is just, I've just never seen anything quite like it.
I never have either, but I think they very much exist. You know what I mean? Like, we're seeing it on our TV.
True. That's true. For example, and I know I'm jumping around here, maybe I'm jumping a little bit too far forward, but when she's talking to Mary Lynn after Victoria had said something to Matt about Mary Lynn being a toxic person, Mary Lynn is like, okay, let's sit down on these couches. Where they each were going to sit took 5 minutes to figure out. She's like, I'm going to sit here. You're going to sit over there. It's like, okay. And then Mary Lynn tries to level with her and being like, I don't want any drama between the two of us. I'm just here for Matt. I want to get engaged to Matt at the end of this. And then she just says, I can't do this anymore. I can't take it. You're being too much for me, and walks away. Like, that's not a normal human interaction.
No, it's not. It's really not. I feel terrible for Marilyn that she had to be Victoria's first victim, because I just feel like Victoria is going to try and pluck him out. It's week two and we're already ratting on girls. There's only been one group date and she's already going to Matt trying to say like, oh, you know, we were roommates and I had to leave. I slept on the couch. She was so mean to me. Like, there wasn't even any real examples of what went down. We didn't see any problems. We did see Victoria disagree with the group multiple times, but nobody not yet, at least, nobody's outright been like, shut the fuck up, you bitch. nobody's attacked her in any way. They've just kind of been like, we disagree with you. Like, I don't. And she feels like the whole group's ganging up on her and the whole thing. It's the whole spiel that's so annoying and just frustrating to listen to. And I feel bad for Marilyn because this was not, it just felt like not her fault. And hopefully Matt can see that, because Matt looked, I don't know if Matt is well versed enough in like girl drama. You know, he just felt like he looked lost. He like heard Victoria and was like, yeah, okay, that's awful. I believe you. Like, I'll go talk to Marilyn. And then he went to talk to Marilyn and Marilyn was like, that's not what happened. And he's like, that's not what Victoria said. Like, now he's like perplexed. Like, he's got no idea what he's going to do. So hopefully he opens his eyes a little bit. And it's not, obviously, I'm sure he sees some of it and knows that Victoria has locked in her contract or some shit that she's got to be there for 4 weeks.
I do wonder if they kept anything from us in terms of what's going on between Marilyn and Victoria, because we saw nothing, none of it. Victoria's throwing around all these accusations about Marilyn being a toxic person and that's the reason she couldn't, you know, be her roommate. Like, I would be very curious if they kept anything from us, because right now there's no evidence to back up what Victoria's saying, and maybe they're holding clips from us to make it look like Victoria is even more out there. It's just very strange, because if the clips don't exist anywhere, Victoria is just, she is just the big villain of the house, and I'm not quite sure why.
Yeah, you're right. She just seems awful. She just seems awful. And, you know, we talked about it a lot in Cutting Stems, but some poor wardrobe choices. Poor wardrobe choices. Just, all right, get her bra out the whole time.
I don't know where Victoria is getting the idea that you could still wear a bra with a dress like that. Can't happen. Free the nips. Let your boobs fly. It's cool these days. Nipples are an accessory. We would not judge you if your nipples were out, Victoria. We would praise you. So maybe, like, even, you know, a strapless bra would have worked better. But just a full-on bra with the whole bra showing in the back, backless dress. Like, let's get it together. Everything about this person is gross. But, every time I say that, I don't want people to think I'm, like, you know, her appearance is gross. Like, that's not what I mean. It's just everything about her. Like, it's like the way she acts, the way she talks, the way she speaks,
the way she carries herself,
the way she carries herself is disgusting in every way, shape, and form. So it's hard not to be like, she's absolutely grotesque. Like, I can't stand her, but at the same time, once again, people are going to be mad I said this, whatever, who cares. I like having drama on the show, and I think that she adds great drama to the show and makes it interesting. Yes, she is hard to watch and, like I said, disgusting, but makes for an interesting series, because I personally don't love to just watch a fine and dandy lovey-dovey reality TV show. I like to watch for drama. And so you got to have a shitty person on the show for drama. I feel like people get caught up, like, they see a shitty person, right? And they're like, oh, you know, she's so shitty. She needs to be off the show. Like, she shouldn't be given this platform. But, like, why not give the platform to show how shitty she is? You know what I mean? Like, it's only making her look worse and also providing entertainment for other people. So that's how I look at it.
I'm with you about this. Is the show needs someone like this. Like,
yeah,
we talked a lot last season during Tayshia's season, how it's like, oh man, like, obviously it's great that all these guys are opening up and they're sharing their issues, but it would be nice to balance it a little bit with some real drama. They tried to force Noah and Bennett on us, and that just got so old so quickly. So to have someone enter the show like Victoria, who is genuinely bringing nothing but drama, and yeah, it's going to get old in 2-3 weeks if she's still around, but for right now, as unbearable as it is and how annoying it is, we still get something to talk about. It's something that we can all agree on, at least. I think someone like this is necessary, at least for a couple weeks.
Exactly. Like, you know, after the 4th or 5th episode, she's still on, you gotta go. But I think while Matt does not have any real connection with anyone yet, having drama in the beginning of the series is good because it keeps you interested and engaged for when he actually has real connections with people. And then towards the end, that's right. when you get invested in Matt and the people he has connections with. You're focused on that because it's been a while. You know that he spends some time with them. Whereas in the beginning, it's all, you know, getting to know each other. So to spice it up a little bit, some drama is good.
It's the formula we get every season. Victoria just seems like one of the worst ones we've gotten in a while. You know, there's always someone, but she by far knocks a lot of the past quote unquote villains out of the water already, I think, in week two. So
she just doesn't make any good points.
No, she opens her mouth and it's bullshit every time.
Right. In the past, some of the villains will be like, oh, you girls are saying you're already in love with this person. Like, that's crazy. You've only been here for a week. But Victoria, she's just mean to everyone and thinks everyone is out to get her. And it's obviously driving the house crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting to me that, you know, you get dressed for the rose ceremony. You got this dress on. You know, Caitlin Bristow had a very funny experience a while back where she saw a dress on Instagram and bought it, and the version that came in the mail was so horrible. Like, it was supposed to be like sequins and florals and everything, and it was so ugly. The sequins were fake. They were like printed on the pictures are hilarious. And she had tweeted, like, I think maybe Victoria got owned by online shopping, and this dress that she bought, which a lot of people have found, I think, is on Shein. It's just this, she has this attachment to this bra, I feel like, that it must be her good boob bra. Every girl's got one where they're like, yeah, they push them up. They look great. Like, but you got to wear them with the right clothes. Like the wedding dress, she had it on. This dress, she has it on. It doesn't work. You're trying to still, you know, be as perky and get the good cleavage you're looking for. But it just all around didn't work. And I feel like none of the girls being like, hey, your entire bra is out. Like, maybe you want to change or wear something else. Shows a lot about how the house feels about Victoria. And yeah, we're going to get a lot of drama. The girls are going to start to pull their hair out just having to be around her. And that's when shit'll hit the fan.
I don't know how anybody is not like saying, you know, Marilyn, she spoke up a little bit, but how everyone's kind of just sitting there like, first of all, the bra thing, like even if you don't like the girl, if I don't like somebody and I see their bra sitting out, like I'm going to say to them like, hey, your bra is just showing. Like, I don't know how nobody's saying that. And also when she's just like complaining all the time, how does nobody turn to her and just say, shut the fuck up, shut up. I don't know how nobody just snaps, especially in the environment that they're in. And, you know, they're staying up late. They're probably drinking. They're tired. Like, I can't believe I'm sure somebody at some point is going to just snap.
Definitely. I thought it was going to be Kit.
It still can be Kit.
Yeah, it still could be. The first week definitely made it seem like it was going to be Kit. Kit didn't get nearly as much airtime this week. But I think I would put my money on Kit being the one who finally says something to Victoria.
Yeah, it did seem like we're going to get some drama between Kit and
Victoria.
Victoria
hugged Kit.
Yeah, that's true.
During the group date.
Maybe Kit turns on her. Like, just says, enough is enough.
I was shocked and appalled. And it didn't seem like Kit was into it, but I was like, why is Victoria hugging Kit? Randomly, she was like, ooh, and like hugged her. I was like, okay, we can't have this. We don't want Kit and Victoria getting along.
No, I didn't see that. That is concerning, but I still think it's going to be Kit who turns on Victoria.
Yeah, we're definitely going to see a lot of the girls turn on her, I think. And then we got left with it to be continued. There isn't even a rose ceremony to talk about. They gave out the roses, half the roses, and then Sarah, who we know obviously already had a rose from the one-on-one, started to feel faint. She didn't feel well. She felt like she was going to pass out. She fought, you know, walks to the back of the room. Bree walks with her. The best part of when this shit happens is like they're all the cameramen are in their set place for the rose ceremony. They all have their assignments. Like they're all, and when this happens, it's like rogue cameraman. They show the camera like up on the ceiling. Like they don't know where to go. They got to get the footage of Sarah. They got to get Matt coming to talk to Sarah. And we just got left with a big fat to be continued. So we'll have to see what happens.
I love a good to be continued. I don't care what.
I hate it.
Like, last night didn't even feel like that dramatic. Like, obviously.
It wasn't at all. I mean, with like, maybe with the Victoria stuff, yes, but I feel like the Sarah possible faint was not that big of a deal to hit us with it to be continued.
I think to all the potential showrunners out there, if you want to get me excited about it in our next episode, just put to be continued. Like, even if it makes no
end
sense.
End it before it's supposed to end.
Like, even if they had done the whole rose ceremony last night, it'd been a normal episode, and then they put on a to be continued, I'd be like, let's go. It's going to be great. Like, I just...
Right.
Put to be continued at the end of every show, and I'll fall for it every time.
It's just like the dot, dot, dot. That's like, whoa, what could possibly happen? Meanwhile, they just give her a little water. She's fine. like the next episode picks up like completely normal.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's one thing to do the to be continued and then not show the preview for the next episode, but like, because then you're left with nothing. But they do the to be continued and then like show us that like Victoria is still there. So like, we know she's getting a rose, you know? Yeah. Like, if it just went to be continued and then we had no preview, I think we'd all be like, oh, what happens? But then they give us the preview.
I'm still into it. I'm still jacked up about the
two. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, right. They could have showed us the whole season. I've been like, but still, it could be something.
Yeah. Look, it's why they keep bringing us back. That's why everybody is just obsessed with the show. So we'll be back next week to talk about the to be continued of whatever is happening here. But I think that wraps it up. Does anyone have any parting thoughts?
No. My last parting thought is, I will only be referring to Victoria as Coochie Monster here on out. So be prepared.
Can you explain it? Yeah, explain it for everyone so that they get it.
I'd rather not. I kind of like the mystery behind Coochie Monster. No, I'm kidding.
To be continued.
Yeah, yeah. To be continued.